Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 192 of the Pika Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we got some spicy stuff to talk about Mythic Raiding. There is a big community council post about Mythic Raiding and things that they would like to see change for Mythic Raiding and all this kind of stuff. Spawned a lot of discussion, and we're going to participate in that discussion today.
I'm so excited.
But before we do that, you gotta talk reclears, you gotta talk news. I guess,
did you reclear?
You still on vacation? Off.
Yeah, so we're still on vacation. So we'll come back next week and start. And so I've picked my new class for season 4. I'll be a hunter, we'll say. So I've been doing a lot
of Mythic
Plus.
Demons or a hunter?
No, just a regular hunter. So
you're going to go Beast Mastery?
But it's not. It's funny. A little bit of backstory, but like before I got into healing, I was a warlock up until all through classic or like vanilla and BC. And then going into, and even actually into Wrath. I played Warlock and Paladin a little bit. But leaving Wrath and going to Cataclysm, I was going to be a hunter. Yep. Literally leveled it, did the whole, like, get your 25 quests ready. And, like, 2 days before the expansion, like, 3 healers in my guild quit. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm playing, like, I think I played Druid then or something stupid, right? And became
Druid
a healer.
Pretty good in Cata.
Going to Cata. Yeah, it was a lot of fun in Cata. And so I never really got to go back in Hunter. And so when I played Classic Wrath, I picked a Hunter and really enjoyed it. And so it was sort of one of those things where I had a Hunter. I've always had sort of kept one leveled up. Like I did, it's the only class other than Monk that I did the Mage Tower on in Legion was my Hunter.
Nice.
So I'll be a Hunter for at least for season 4 and we'll see from there. But
funny thing, Hunter was my main from Cataclysm through the middle of Legion. When I switched to tanking.
Yeah, it's a great class. I love like disengaging and like feign deathing.
Yeah, and like main as much as like a casual player has a main, like not main and like I've raided on it. I didn't raid until Legion.
Gotcha.
But like that was the character that I played that I had all the cosmetics on and all the transmog and all the mounts and everything.
Nice. Nice.
All that stuff. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, yeah, it was. So that's been my week. Has just been slamming Mythic Plus, trying to get the stupid bow from Rise. So, which I still don't have. It's great.
Hey, you know what? At least you'll be able to Dinar and Altharax next season.
Oh, as long as they bring it back, yeah, that is true.
Oh, yeah, so. That's a good point. We actually don't know if they're going to.
Yeah. But no, it's my week. So we start back up this Tuesday coming up, the 5th. And yeah, it'll be interesting because we got like 3 healer recruits and
oh my god,
I think that's I think 1 new demon hunter. So and every healer I think is swapping other than our Prez Evoker. Like our old Dis Priest is playing Monk or no, playing Paladin. Our Paladin's playing Monk. We recruited a Paladin, recruited 2 priests. So it'll be a bunch of jumbling up. So we're definitely probably not reclearing next week, but it'll be fun. Hopefully. If we get further. Yeah. So did you guys take a break or did you guys,
no, I think, well, kind of. So we cleared the first 7.
Okay.
We made the decision, like we talked to the guild, put up a survey, or like, what do you guys want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to pull Tendril, really. Like,
yeah.
There was an option on the survey for use the skip, which we have, which is unusual for us at this point. We don't usually reclear that deep into the tier.
Mm-hmm.
Something we're going to be changing going forward, but this tier was unusual in that regard. But we had the skip, so we could have just like gone, you know, ran it down mid and started pulling Tendril. And like, there are a couple people that were like, I want to pull Tendril. And everybody else was like, I don't want to pull Tendril at all.
Yeah.
So we did the first 7. And I don't think like our Laradar kill was pretty scuffed, but we one shot it. Our Council of Dreams took like 45 minutes.
Nice.
Like we wiped on 3 bosses. We wiped once on Nimue. We wiped like 7 times on Council of Dreams.
Jeez. Okay.
And then we wiped like five times on Smolderon. Council of Dreams, all the issues were like eating all the flowers.
Nice. Yeah.
Or
always what we wiped too.
Some like communication snafu where like multiple ducks were like, we needed somebody to duck Urktos, right? So that he could get transformed into a duck and then we could use his charge to finish the intermission thing. And like just a communication snafu where somebody called it and then couldn't get there, but because they called it, all the other ducks had just moved away to give keep, like the melee space to keep hitting the boss. And then just like nobody ducked Urktos.
Yeah, that was, to be fair, when we like our couple of reclears, that was our wipes. It wasn't mostly eating all the puddles, but it was losing ducks essentially.
Yeah,
it was basically like he like whatever Urktos does his intermission thing, and then like having nobody in a duck form to even duck him, and then it's just like we have to wait.
I think that was our wipes were split pretty 50-50 between those two things.
Gotcha. Not too bad. So you did get smaller. Are you going back tonight to finish like the Tyndall? Okay. So you're doing like the we've also done that before too.
Cleared the first seven in like 3 hours and then logged off.
Gotcha. Nice. Yeah, we used to do that, I think, but we've since, this is actually our longest break. We typically only take a week off, but I think we took two just because of the tier itself, which we'll probably get into. Well, awesome.
This is kind of our like in lieu of a break, we just kind of do
like one day
the more chill bosses, right?
Yeah. No, that's nice. I think that's the other way to do it. Yeah, to keep people engaged too. So,
but you were talking about, I think we both mentioned Cataclysm. Switched to Resto Druid. I started playing Hunter at that point. Speaking of Cataclysm, the beta for it is now on the CDN.
It is. Yes. Yeah. They've put up on CDN at least the files themselves for the Cataclysm. I guess beta/PTR, right? Like they're going to do some sort of testing of it going into the summer. So that's up there, which is good news. But I think they're still sticking to that. I think it's like midsummer is Cataclysm, if I remember from the from the roadmap.
There was some discussion that I saw in the Warcraft Logs Discord actually about the timeline for CDN push to classic beta, and for Wrath it was around a month.
Nice.
So that's like a month, 6 weeks, somewhere around there is probably when we see the actual Cata beta go live.
Yeah, which is good because I think it's supposed to land between Solo Selfound now and the level 50 Season of Discovery stuff. So and Solo Selfound just hit last week, I think.
Yep.
Hardcore Solo Selfound. So that's up there. So making progress on Cata. I don't think we've seen, I think a couple, even previous to this, there's been the new expansion War Within hit the CDN like a couple weeks ago. So we should hopefully be seeing beta for that soon. We'll see, or alpha, I guess it would be considered. But yeah, that's out there. And the other thing too, I guess staying with this whole not retail updates, there was a huge blog post on Seasons of Discovery, which is a couple key points. That I just wanted to highlight. Number one, they are increasing experience gain from 1 to 39 now. As of Tuesday reset, you will get 100% more experience from 1 to 39, which is interesting, I'll say, because they said they weren't going to do this. They said, like, you'd get, for the previous phase, you get an increase in experience, but then the current phase, you get normal XP. So they're making that change. I'm assuming it's probably because they've seen a drop off in leveling. And in my mind, it hits in like, to be fair, WoW, great early game experience, great end game experience. But like in the classic game, in my mind, 30 to 50 is like an awful grind. There's like one good dungeon in like Mardon.
35 plus. It gets rough. And so for reference, right now there is a 50% XP increase.
But only to 25.
1 to 25, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is basically the way they present it as, this is the buff we were going to put with the launch of Phase 3. We're bumping it up to right now, midway through the patch, partly as a thing to let you play alts so that you can more easily like level up a second character, try a different class. You know, maybe you're playing a mage, but you think the warrior stuff looks cool. You know, that kind of thing. And then also for those of us that have not hit level cap.
That's why I stopped leveling. I'm like 34, I want to say 35. And I'm just like, I'll just wait for this buff to go in. Yeah. So so they did that, which will be nice to help people catch up. They also are decreasing the mount cost at 40 because you're going to be leveling so much faster. You'll get less general gold from quests. Yeah. So they're doing that. So mounts will be less expensive, I think. But that's what they said. The other thing too that came out, which I think is really interesting, is they talked about the end game, like raids at level 60. And I think this is something that we've even sort of speculated on, is like, you know, you've got 10 man experience right now in every raid. So BFD was 10 man, Nobregon currently 10 man.
Yep.
And so bumping, going from 10 to 40 is a massive jump. And like, to be completely fair, like my friends, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast a couple weeks ago, if 40 mans were the level 60 raid size, we would quit. Like they do the level 50 stuff and they probably wouldn't level to 60, or like one or two of them would, just to sort of see out the experience. Yeah. But Blizzard did come out and say that, like, two things. Number one, the level 50 raid, so the next phase up to level 50 cap, will be a 20 player experience, which will be an interesting bump. And then Molten Core itself will be 20 players in Season Discovery, which makes sense because, well, not makes sense, but, you know, we'll be level 20. So those two
people were already joking about the fact that you could 10 man Molten Core.
Yeah, exactly.
To some degree, with just it being a raid that's not particularly difficult. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, Season of Discovery power creeping things, like people do a lot more damage than actual like original vanilla, not just compared to like original vanilla, but compared to, you know, classic vanilla that came out 6 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. So Blizzard mentioned like this is sort of their way of sort of essentially bridging the gap to 40 man raids, because they said not every raid will be 20 man at max level. We eventually will probably see 40 man raids, and it's probably a combination of just like not wanting to redo fights that may not work well at a smaller raid size, right? Putting that effort in. I think they probably feel confident Molten Core can be done in a smaller raid size, but I can't think of anything in BWL maybe that'll stop you. But then you get into like AQ40 and like Nax, and like then you're like, okay, you probably
need also 40. You also have things like AQ40 came with AQ20, right?
Exactly. So what do you do with AQ20 then?
Not comparable exactly, but you do still have a 20 player raid there to go along with it. You have something for that raid size. And of course there's ZG and other content at that level. I would love to see, like, they leave things open to potentially have other 20 player raids or even 10 player raids of that size. And I would love to see, like, when they release Nax, like if they do staged releases of this level 60 content, when they release Nax, do a 10 or 20 player strat home raid.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I did strat home it with 10 players back in the day. So
yeah, back before the instant size caps were as strict.
Exactly. No, yeah. I'm joking. No, that would be, it would be cool to see something like that as a, like, not right at release, because there's a ton of really good max level dungeons that they could turn into raids, right? So there's probably a couple other things we're missing in this Season Discovery thing, but I think the biggest thing was just that they talked about raid size increasing, and the XP change I think is huge for this.
Yeah, and like I guess one last note on the raid size thing, they did say very explicitly no flex rating.
Yeah,
and I totally understand why. Like, It's a huge can of worms.
You don't need flex. Like, just make it is what it is and go from there. So
especially with, we'll touch on more of this earlier, but especially with the difficulty level being lower, you can much more easily just pug people and successfully clear the raid and get your loot.
Exactly.
Might not get a speed clear time that's good, but you'll get your loot. You'll kill the bosses.
You'll get through those bosses, yeah, for sure. Well, cool. So I think that's it for the non-retail stuff. We did have a couple of big retail things that came in. I think first up is we did get, finally, the Brewmaster look back. So these are, again, Blizzard has been publishing these look backs across various different classes.
Blizzard has?
I mean, Wowhead has been publishing these look backs. So we've talked... You know, we talked about the Mistweaver one. June did a really good write-up there. Windwalker, of course, Babs, you know, did a solid write-up there. And we have the final Monk one in The Brewmaster, written by Shinzu. And it's, I mean, I read through it all. It seems seems like a pretty good write up. There's some really good things there. It's funny that the utility section is hilarious to me because it's the same for every monk spec in that, like, yeah, there's nothing unique about an individual monk spec. So like everything can do, every monk spec can do everything the other monk specs do for the large majority of cases. So
there's some things like, occasionally things pop up where you can like solo a mechanic as brewmaster that you can't on other tanks because of stagger. Mm-hmm. That's less true now because stagger is so heavily nerfed. Now a lot of cases where you could overlap with something like a blood decay using like Van Blood and AMS and just living it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so they're not, it's not as strong. Historically though, there were like utility things you could do where like you just like negated the mechanic by having a brewmaster because the brewmaster just didn't need to do a, you know, group soak or whatever. They just soloed it. But yeah, you're 100% right that the utility section is like, you could more or less write the same thing with every monk spec.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you need Ring of Peace. Well, all three of them can get it, right? You need, you know, even the statue now is like, you could, every monk spec could pick it up. It might not be great for them, but to get it like a Mistweaver or something, but yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's probably pretty easy for Mistweaver to get it because we get those two aura nodes. Anyway, so yeah. So
I think everybody takes those two aura nodes.
Yeah.
Close to Heart and I'm blanking on the other one. Generous Pour?
Generous Pour, yeah. I was going to say Bounce Back, but yeah, it's not that. Generous Pour, yeah. So yeah, and I think too, one of the things that I think came out through this also was just the concept of like button bloat for Brewmaster, where like just large amounts of buttons and like large amounts of buttons that you still need to hit. Like it's not like you have it's not like you pick up like Soothing Mist and never touch it, right? Or like previous to Mistweaver, there's like Expel Harm, which we never would have casted know, before the buff. It seems like you guys use everything, which is an issue.
Like
right?
I don't remember if the current talent build typically takes Soothing Mist. I don't think it does.
I would hope not.
But like if you do, you don't really push it. There's Chi Wave that like you basically don't push. It's like the lowest thing in the priority list. Mm-hmm. And so because you just have so many buttons on such low cooldowns, it is like a once per 2 minute cast or something really low like that. It just doesn't come up very much. I think Senzu identifies this correctly. There are too many on GCD cooldowns that one, don't interact with each other, and two, aren't like individually very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have Invoke Niuzhao, and it's just really like, it's worth pushing. You push it and it's the equivalent of like spending 5 or 6 GCDs doing anything else. So it's definitely worth pushing,
mm-hmm.
but it's not great.
Yeah.
And like you have so many of these, you can't sit there and use all of your cooldowns on pull because you won't have threat and then people die.
Yeah.
So it's really awkward. And so one of the things they hone in on is like, we have this build a button tech that they've used on like Fortifying Brew, where you have Fortifying Brew that you pick up in the class tree. Mm-hmm. And then you have multiple different talent nodes, both in the class tree and in the spec tree that add power to it, right? So doing things like, you know, maybe Invoke Niuzhao is like a cool, right now it's a mandatory node. You have to take it because it gates off a huge chunk of power in the center of the bottom of the spec tree. Like you have to take it. But it's probably the worst feeling cooldown. You know, why not start tying in like maybe Cat Statue actually just becomes, you know, tied to Invoke Niuzhao. And now instead of having to push two different on GCD 2 minute cooldowns that both summon pets that do passive damage, it could be one that just does both.
Yeah. I mean that makes, it seems like, from what I've read through this, like there seems to be some level of cleanup. Cause I think the other thing that Senzu sort of also talks about, like, so the GCD issue and cooldowns and like not feeling impactful, I think, is one piece of it. And then they also go through and talk about like the fact that like as you move through the talent tree, there are certain talents that do similar things, but like some are much easier to get to versus other ones. And so you're like, well, why do you take these later talents when like I can get like the better things along the way to something even more impactful? So I think sort of talk a little bit about in like the loser section of like, like why do you take the damage reduction? Like the example they give is like, why settle for damage reduction on Breath of Fire and Celestial Flames when you can do it on demand with Blackout Combo? So like you have two talents.
And Blackout Combo is just significantly better.
Yeah, overall.
Across the board. It costs the same amount of points. It's in a better position in the tree. It has better interactions with most of the rest of your kit. And it is just like individually more powerful.
Yeah,
absolutely. Celestial Flames is one of those talents that has existed since Legion. It's been like, it was one of the Legion talent editions, I believe.
Okay.
Either Legion or BFA. And it's never been good.
That's awesome.
You never take it.
That's awesome.
You still don't take it. And some of that's like, it. He doesn't get into this in the post. It is, I think, not really the place for him to get into it. But it like does. You lose the DR benefit from it when you reapply Breath of Fire.
That's awesome.
So it's way worse than you would think. But then I think like the biggest one is like summon Black Ox Statue. Like that used to be a pretty free choice node, or kind of choice between Ring of Peace and Ox Statue, because like a lot of fights you just didn't need Ring of Peace, so you would take Ox Statue and then you would have it for something like, you know, Stone Legion Generals or Orgazoa. And now it costs 3 talent points in the class tree because we don't take bounce back. And that means that like in order to get Ox Statue, we have to take bounce back to unlock it. So that makes it really awkward to get to. My biggest disappointment with Sinzu's write up here is honestly just not complaining about Celestial Brew being on the GCD.
Yeah, I didn't. He didn't make a huge point of that, so that's fair.
Yeah, we gotta get our ducks in a row, get our lobbying together. We gotta copy the Warlocks. Everybody needs to be presenting this unified message. That Celestial Brew has to be off the GCD. It's so annoying that it's just a bad AMS.
It's so funny. Yeah. You brewmasters need to one mind, need to mind meld together.
Yeah.
But cool.
It's a good post. It's a good post.
Yeah, I think, solid write up. So I think we're just waiting on the Warriors now. Where are they at in terms of final write up? So, but cool. All right. Well, that's on the Brewmaster stuff. And we'll say sad news. And I think this is, to me, pretty sad. Is it? We did get a big post by Lozy over at BDG. So Big Dumb Guild. BDG essentially is stopping competitive world first rating. I think it sucks to see a guild like BDG sort of fall off. They, came into everyone knew about them back in like the Nyalotha days. I'm really, spent a lot of time theorycrafting Mistweaver with Dobbs, who was a part of like the original, core of BDG. And Dobbs, a great person, great individual. So no, it definitely stinks to see BDG sort of shudder. We'll say at least in terms of a world first guild, but I'll say that I think the writing was kind of on the wall. It sucks. They were awesome. It's funny. It's the only, WoW Guild merchandise I've ever purchased has been when they were the Golden Guardians. What was it? BDGG shirt.
Yeah.
It has like the gold logo with the text underneath. So, I love this team. I was always rooting for him. It didn't sort of pan out. And I think unfortunately in the race for world first, unless you're one or two in that race, or really unless you're number one in your region, it's very difficult I think to continue on
and then
forward. So
like Method still exists. It is kind of, they're number two in their region, they're number three overall pretty consistently now. And they have brand recognition and they have people who are, from my impression from the outside looking in, very good at nailing down sponsorships.
Yeah, which is I think the key point. Yeah.
And BDGG lost the GG sponsorship the Golden Guardian sponsorship right before Myrdrasil, right?
Yeah.
Very awkward timing for them. The tier itself was rough for them. And like Lozi writes in the post that there was a point where they weren't sure if they were going to finish the tier, right? They were on Tindril and they weren't sure if they were going to see the rest of it out.
Yeah.
Which yeah. they did. I don't know what rank they got in.
They were still top.
They were top 10. They were top 10. Yeah. I don't know where that top 10 they were. Yeah. But it's rough.
And the funny thing is that they have some of the, like, still, I think, so losing a bunch of people to Echo, like, you've ever heard of Bubba, who's one of, or sorry, not Echo, but Liquid, sorry, God, I can't get the guild names right, but Liquid's analyst, Bubba, one of their head analysts, like, he came from BDG, yeah. And, like, some of the strats that they pull out back in the day, like, to me, the Rastakhan strat is still one of my favorite things. One? No. This was the Rastakhan where you build the portals around the wall. Yeah. So like your range could sit all the way back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wouldn't have to move for any orbs. If you don't remember the fight in Rastakhan, there's an upstairs and a downstairs, and there was orbs that would spawn if you were downstairs. So you'd build a wall of portals so the orbs would hit the portals and not hit the people standing behind them. BDG pioneered that strat. And so they've had a couple of instances of like them just having like really good like strategies that become the norm, where like you look at like Echo or Limit and or Liquid and you're just like, why did you guys not think of this? So yeah, it sucks to see these guys go. But I mean, I think, yeah, like they've lost a bunch of players, like, you know, a bunch of people to quitting, but then they've also lost people to better guild, like the higher level guilds, like Maybe, Cakes, yeah. Shaman Extraordinaire, Liquid, Healer, you know, Lead or whatever, doing all that stuff over there is originally from BDG. I mentioned, you know, Bubba and stuff like that. So, yeah, sucks to see them go. So,
yeah,
I'll miss them.
They were definitely in that awkward spot of like having players that were good enough to play in the top two teams, losing those players to the top two teams and having a hard time replacing them as well.
Yeah, I think Lozi mentioned in the post, like he's had to replace their entire officer corps like twice, which is like really tough to do in a guild. Like you lose sort of a guild identity, and then like, I think the bigger thing is like some, like, and even I'll say this, like even in our guild, like you lose some respect for someone brand new, like someone maybe you've played next to and maybe get promoted to officer. Like maybe you don't respect them as an officer as much playing the game, especially at that level, which can be difficult. Right. And to be fair, you might not even trust them. They might make some bad calls and like, don't have that sort of trust behind them. So yeah, it sucks to see them go, but you know, it sounds like maybe they come back as sort of a home for retired ex-World Force Raiders that just want to raid maybe a couple nights a week and still go semi-hardcore, we'll say.
Yep.
Cool. A couple of just quick hits for other retail stuff. Just probably one of these matters is they've removed the cap on crests. So you can now farm crests to your heart's delight, which has been really helpful on my Hunter, I'll say. I've gotten lots and lots of crests and it's been fun not having to worry about a cap. So
I'll say, I don't think this matters at all. The cap was at like 1200.
Yeah, but maybe you just want to see the number go higher, Emilson. Maybe you're a person like me and that's the number you care about.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely I had been playing my priest a bunch and got gated on crests and flight stones repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And never once was like the seasonal cap the problem. Never once.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That is true. Well, cool. Well, I guess maybe we can...
The last kind of like patch notes thing.
Yeah.
The follower dungeons. Like, if you remember when we first talked about the release of these, there were some pretty stringent caps and some XP penalties and things like that. I guess they're happy with how things are going and want more people doing them and want to incentivize more people to do them because they've increased the number that you can do from 10 to 50 per day. I'm just going to read the patch note literally. The presence of followers in dungeons no longer decreases the XP earned by the human players. Before, there was an XP penalty per follower in the dungeon. Mm-hmm. So if you had, recall that you could like bring in, you could like two-man a dungeon with three followers. Right. Mm-hmm. That would be less of an XP penalty than doing it solo with four. Well, no more XP penalty. You just like, it's as if you're doing it in a regular player run group. which
nice. That's actually huge, I think.
Yeah, there's still the group XP penalty. But that's just inherent in the fact that, like, it's basically there to compensate for the dungeon naturally giving more XP per enemy because they're higher level and elite and all this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's good. That's a good change. I have not actually done a follower dungeon in a couple weeks.
I actually still have not done a follower dungeon.
Yeah, I think I did one. It was interesting. I didn't particularly like it, but it is what it is. But cool. All right. Well, I think maybe we can start on our big topic today, which is, I think, glad. Oh, we actually have a ton of time. Nice. To talk about this. So for those of you not in the know, there was a large post on the community council forums by an individual by the name of Dobby, who is the GM of Nascient, which is a guild that I think, you know, sits in like the top 50-ish world, I want to say. Top 100 for sure.
Yeah.
But they're a solid guild. But they don't raid sort of day raid. They're like a 3 or 4 night a week guild that performs at a very high level, we'll say. And so they go, you know, Dobby puts out this massive post that goes through sort of their thoughts on what's wrong, what they perceive as being wrong with Mythic Plus today, and just rating in general, or not Mythic Plus, sorry, but in Mythic rating today, and just I think in general rating, and goes through a lot of, I think, kind of key points. So I wanted to sort of break this down into a little bit of a, like, kind of section by section. We can sort of let our thoughts sort of flow. On top of this, there's been a couple of Twitter conversations, not directly related to this post, but
sometimes
probably direct. I think this post probably triggered it, but it wasn't in a response to this post directly. Then Scripes had a couple of points made by, you know, and responding to JB, who's always got a thoughts on everything like that. And JB responded to THD, who has tons of takes that you may or may not agree with. So we'll sort of try and collaborate or corroborate all this together into sort of what maybe we feel could be changed or should be changed with the way the raids work. So I think the way that the post opens, I think, is really, I think, a good indication of some of the, we'll say, maybe some of the, where the problems from WoW stemmed, in that WoW is an extremely predictable game. Like, you know, basically once an expansion comes out, you can map out the next 2-ish years. Maybe now it's 18 months, but you can map out what's going to occur over the life of that expansion. And it's been the same way, I think, probably since what Legion broke this slightly, but it's BFA was Unaut in BFA?
Like, I guess it depends. Yeah, Unaut was in BFA. It really depends on whether you're focused entirely on the raid content or the general content. And I think Delby does focus on the raid content. Mm-hmm. And if you do look at that, it is this expansion and last expansion extremely predictable. You have these 8 to 9 boss raids. Sepulchre, the first one's notwithstanding, widely regarded as a mistake. But, you know, in general, it's just you get your launch raid, 2 follow-up raids, next expansion. BFA had Unaut in the middle as this, like, kind of uber boss. And then Legion had Trial of Valor following on Emerald Nightmare. Emerald Nightmare, as this 2-boss or 3-boss. No, it was 3-boss, right? Mini raid.
Trial was 3, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always forget Odin's in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very predictable. The other patch content in Dragonflight has broken that up. Like, if you look beyond raids, I think the patch content is a lot more varied than it was in previous expansions. In some ways, they have kind of finally adopted the Final Fantasy model of alternating between patches for that are primarily aimed at, like, raiders that introduce new tiers of gear and all this stuff and new PvE content, and then patches that are for non-raiders that just introduce, you know, world content, more storylines, more world events, that kind of thing. But yeah, like, he is right. It's very predictable. If you're looking at raids, it's extremely predictable.
Yeah. So I think in that regard, like, the point that I think they're trying to make coming out of this is that, like, with smaller raid sizes, there can be, or more varied raid sizes and, like, number of raids, there can be a little bit more variation in, like, how you approach writing. Because right now it's like very much a, and in my mind, very much a, like, you get to the boss, you get basically not even to the boss, you get 3 or 4 weeks in, and then you just start extending till you clear the raid, right? Because at that point, you've essentially hit a, and we'll get into this, but you've hit a power level that isn't going to significantly increase by killing other bosses around. And by like breaking up the structure of like saying, and maybe this doesn't occur just by breaking up the structure, you probably need other changes, but the idea of saying, okay, we're going to do like, you know, 2 boss raid on Tuesday and get through that. And then we'll shift focus to, you know, the say the larger raid that might be like 5-6 bosses, right? But they get released at the same time is fun. Like I enjoyed, we never killed Unat when it was current, but we did kill the boss before Unat in that raid while it was current, which was like a lot of fun. It was a lot of breaking things up, I'll say. And similarly, like Trial of Valor was always nice to break up whatever the first raid of Legion was.
Emerald Nightmare,
which I'm kind of a joke. Of a larger
that's person. So I think that there's like the small raids can't carry a patch, like a big patch in the way that we think of WoW patches is like we get 2 of them. They come out every like 6 to 8 months, mm-hmm. right? And there's just really not a way around that. Yeah. But I do think that there's potential there for it to be like more frequent, right? Like if you're not building out an entire 9-boss raid, mm-hmm. you can finish a 3-boss raid faster than you can finish a 9-boss raid. Like more frequent raid content releases. But there's other things that are discussed in this post that I think would have to change in order to make that be useful, helpful, beneficial, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah, and I think the next sort of section sort of marbly speaks the most of that, which is the title of the section is Farm No Longer Provides the Benefit It Once Did. And I think this is my biggest gripe with the current way that raiding works is that so essentially what they go on to say is, you know, by the time that you reach a last boss, right, even the first time you pull it, you're basically at like 90, 95% of your maximum item level without ever killing the boss, right? Like your maximum power, you're at 90, 90%. And that includes like in many cases extending for multiple weeks on the bosses before that, right? So like the biggest issue is that there is the availability of max or high level gear, not even the highest level, but like a half step below the highest level gear is too prevalent, right? And like people will point to Mythic Plus being a problem here, but I think you could also layer into that like upgrading items to a currency, and like Mythic Plus is a part of this. And then also the vaults, right? Which is a cool thing, but like I think since they've introduced the box back in BFA, like I think they've thrown a lot of gear out at people that almost too quickly, right? And so like you gain a bunch of power and then you sort of sit and you're like, well, it, you know, am I going to gain much by killing this boss, or am I basically at my power level? And really now it's just a mechanical check. It's a like, can I mechanically do this boss, you know, with the team that I have? And that's, I think, a huge problem. Like it's not like, while loot isn't my main driver in playing the game, mounts are, of course. But like loot in general isn't. Like it's upsetting to me when like we get like, I will say when we, as we're progressing Tyndryl and then eventually Phyrac, my monk was capped at gear unless I got a 49 for my vault, right? Like I needed nothing from the final 2 bosses before ever seeing them. And it's not that I need like specific items from them. I think, you know, I forget, I probably did need something off Tyndryl, but like I got the tier piece. Yeah, I don't think so. But like I got the tier piece from Tyndryl, but I got it from my vault at mythic level before I ever killed it. So it's just like, it doesn't matter if we kill it or not. So I think that's to me like the problem. And then like in turn, when they talk about farming a raid, like there's no incentive to like kill the bosses because you enter in those final bosses with almost all the gear you want. And so you're looking for like one piece, which is a compounding problem of just throwing a bunch of gear out at people as you get to that point.
There's kind of 2 things going on here. One is we get more items. Like you remember the start of Shadowlands where they pulled back on the amount of items that we got.
Yeah, it was great.
And they had to undo it. They had to roll it back because it was so unpopular. It was incredibly unpopular. Yeah. And some of that is the, so rating is this big intersection of multiple interlocking systems, right? Mm-hmm. You can't reduce the amount of gear that you get without changing things about the difficulty, for example, right? And this is looking a little bit ahead into the next section, talking about the tuning problem, mm-hmm. Where the raids come out and they're tuned to a very high level. You need, well, for one thing, you need the gear to kill the bosses, mm-hmm. Which means that you kind of have to be able to acquire the gear reasonably before the bosses are doable. So that puts them in a hard place where you have to drop all this loot off the bosses so that people can actually progress the raid and aren't just beating their head against a boss that they just aren't going to beat on a numbers level.
Yeah, but my only counterpoint to that, and I think this is where you're right, we get into the tuning problem, is that when you say the bosses are made difficult, they're made difficult with the expectation you have all this gear.
Right.
You have the same, to me, the way that I look at an MMO and an RPG in general is you step, right? You get to the boss and you need items from that boss to kill the next boss. And then you need items from that boss to kill the next boss. And you sort of step your way up in power. In WoW today, you don't need anything from you need to do heroic as a general concept.
Every mythic boss you kill is 4 mythic plus vault items you get, basically. It's like progressing 4 of your raiders 1 week in the future in terms of loot that they get from that. So there is a big mythic plus vault does make up for it, especially when you're looking at a guild that's on our level. We're getting 10 mythic plus vaults before we finish the tier on mythic. So that means that there's only 13 equipable slots. You can get pretty much your whole character done just from that if you get lucky.
And that's to that point, there's a lot of, not only is there a lot of gear that gets thrown at you from the boss itself, right? Because each boss is dropping 5 items, I want to say.
Four
items for a 20 person raid, which is wild to me. You get a vault, which gives you pick of the litter for whatever you want. Plus, which crafted the other problem items. Of this, where you have crafted items and you have just doing mythic plus a ton, right? There's
mythic plus only goes up to heroic, right?
Agreed, right? But again, there's, it gets you to that heroic level quicker, right?
Oh, yeah.
And to be fair, you also then have the vault concept of mythic plus where you then.
Yeah, you go up from the heroic to the mythic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, so I want to go through some of his points from the tuning thing board before jumping back into this. My point ultimately is if they're going to tone down the degree to which you finish gearing before you finish the raid, then it has to come with a reduction in the tuning of the raid itself to compensate. And what we saw in Castle Nathria is that they changed one without changing the other.
Agreed, yeah.
And it was a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a scenario where you really were going to finish Sire to Nathrius by just farming the raid in a reasonable amount of time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's other balance issues that go into that, right? There's the whole thing where covenants were horribly balanced and you had stuff if you had BM or marksmanship hunters with the Night Fae ability,
marksman, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Just shitting on Stone Legion generals. Right.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the tuning, because I think there's a bunch of good points that they make, but I think the one of the big ones is sort of the fact that tuning in general, particularly for the final, say, 2 to 3 bosses, for most raids over the past, since really the Raids for World First has gotten large, have been extremely difficult, right? Where they've essentially turned the knob up way up just so that the Raids for World First guilds have something that is tough for them, right? And this balance essentially is there's an expectation that for these Race for World First guilds, they'll have all the gear they need, right? So you're already, and this is where I think the gear problem comes in, you're already at max power level as you hit these bosses. So for a normal guild, right, like our guilds, like a non, yeah. everybody, to be fair, everyone outside of, say, the top five, right, for the most yeah. part, if we can say that, right, you're not killing the same boss that Liquid or that Echo kills, right? You're killing the nerfed version of the boss.
Yeah.
And there's a timing for these things where it just sort of sucks when they come in.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and like, that's the biggest point.
He brings up, there's a couple different ways this can be really unpleasant. One of them is like, you're progressing a boss, you know it's going to get nerfed, and it feels like you're wasting your time pulling the unnerfed version of the boss.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the other way around, where it's like, you feel like you could kill it.
Mm-hmm.
You get really close to it. Maybe you get a low percent wipe, and yeah. you wake up on a Monday or Tuesday, and you see that they've posted patch notes that the health's getting reduced. And it's like, well, if that had already been in, we would have killed it because we wiped it 1%.
Yeah, there was a boss that happened to us on Reese, like within the last three expansions. And it was the most demoralizing thing, because I think we had something like, let's say 150, 180 pulls on it. It got nerfed on a Tuesday, we went in and we killed it in two pulls.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're just like, dude, I guess Razageth is like the most notable example of that happening at the Race Forward first level. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, no, that part sucks. Is like, you get close, it's sort of like, okay, the team comes together, you play well, you get basically get your perfect pull, you get your god pull, right?
Yeah.
And you kill it, and it's odd, like that feeling feels great. But yeah, there are certain bosses where you're just like, the other side of this, like, we're not killing this. Like, we're going to gain one item level maybe next week. That's not going to make the difference between us killing this or not. So we're just going to bash our head against the wall until the nerfs come in.
That's right? Actually, like, this tier, we looked at Tendril in my guild. We looked at Tendril and we were like, we know we're not going to kill this before they nerf it.
Yeah.
Rather than banging our heads against the wall on pre-nerf Tendril,
mm-hmm.
we're going to reclear every week until they nerf it. That's why we have this Walderon skip when we normally don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost positive. Like, I don't think we've ever openly said that, but I'm almost positive we did that for that reason. And then I think just for sanity's reason, where it's like, it was week. What week did we get to Tendril? Like, I think week four or five.
Four or five?
Yeah, something really early. And we killed it in week, what, 10? I think. Where it's just like, that would have been five straight weeks of just banging your head into the same boss. Like, that's not enjoyable. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that is definitely a part of it in terms of, like, the fact that waiting for these nerfs is just sucks, right? And it wasn't always like this, right? Like, there was, I think Blizzard has always made adjustments, but like, if you think back to, like, even in Legion, as early as Legion, right, I don't remember a lot of the sweeping changes other than Unat. I think Unat is like an outlier of saying like
Unat was one of the hardest bosses ever made, right? This was an 800 pull boss for world first guilds.
Yeah, so I think it's like there's an aspect of like, they still did this, but it wasn't this bad. And it's been, I mean, there's the meme out there. It's like, well, bosses, like, you have to wait till Elitist Jerks gets to your boss and then you can, then you can kill it, which is like a kind of a bad mindset, I'll say, in general. And I think, you know, my guild, at least this year, has had one of the worst mindsets I've ever seen, just around like killing bosses. And it's been, for me personally, it's been that type of thing where, like, I'm no longer excited when we kill an end boss. It's like a relief. It's like, all right, we kept it together till here. We got to the point when the nerfs came in at the right time before everybody quit.
Yeah.
And now we get to kill it. And I think I miss the progression aspect of it. I miss the fact that, like, people get items that are good for them. And, like, you are excited. You're not getting the item, but maybe somebody on your team is getting the item. And, you know, they're going to get stronger. And, like, that is going to help out you killing the next boss. Or maybe make your rear clears quicker. Like, it's a,
yeah,
like, it's just, it sucks that aspect of farm, like, you're not gaining more power in farm. And also, farm isn't faster in a lot of cases, because you're literally killing the bosses with the same power you had when you killed them the first time. So I think in general, like, those two sections, like these two sections of this post, sort of fit really hand in hand in terms of, like, the tuning and the power gain that you get throughout other systems are very tightly matched together. So, like, switching one without switching the other is an issue. Like, you can't make, you can't switch the gearing and keep the encounters as hard as they are. And you also can't make the encounters easier to start with and keep the gearing as is. Cause then you just, then we're a 4-week guild in Prague, right? Then it's like,
yeah. And this is like, so one of my fondest memories raiding is late tier Nyalotha. Nyalotha is possibly the only raid in recent WoW, in like modern post-Legion WoW, that has had farm get significantly easier than Prague. Yeah. And that's because of corruption scaling. Corruption scaling got ridiculous. But we reached the point on our last kill of Nazoth, we went for a speed kill and we killed it before the mythic phase.
Yeah, I think we have a couple of those really late too, which was fun.
It was like, fun to do. And it was like, there's a bunch of other bosses, like, you know, what was, oh God, what's his name? All I can think of is Radahn, and it's not Radahn because I've been playing Elden Ring.
Raden, orb boss?
Oh, yeah. It's actually really close.
Very close to Radahn.
Raden. Raden got so much easier than it was the first time because of gear scaling, corruption scaling. Yeah. And that doesn't really happen. Like, the stuff that happens on farm now is just they nerf the bosses again, right? Like, we're going to get another round of nerfs before the end of the tier. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be where it becomes a lot more chill for a guild like ours to go back and reclear. Like, there's already another round of Tendril nerfs coming in.
Yeah.
There's going to be another round of Fire Act nerfs at some point. Probably another round of Tendril nerfs, too.
Yeah, just to get everybody. And that's the weird thing is that, like, you are, yeah, you become a, you're not like a hardcore casual guild. You're like a, like, I'm a second round of nerfs guild.
Yeah.
That's when I kill the bosses, right? And it's just, I hate this system. And I think a lot of people, a couple people in the conversation around this too, brought up like ICC and the raid wide buff in ICC.
Yeah.
Right. Where, like, if you're not familiar,
but the raid wide buff.
and it's a very inelegant solution. Like, it's essentially the same thing. It's an artificial inflation of your power inside of a raid to make the bosses easier. And I don't think it's, I don't think that's the solution that you want either. So there's got to be some sort of balance. And I think, from a Blizzard perspective, like, they need to make a decision on, like, are they creating a game for 100 people, like a set of encounters for 100 people, or are they creating a set of encounters for, you know, whatever the raiding population is, like 5,000. It's probably much more than that, but you know what I mean? Like, for the majority of your population. And so,
and that's, so, like, I think this is a good point to bring in Scripe's post on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which dovetails with this. So he says, this is in response to JB complaining about Race to World First tuning, in response to THD having a hot take about gear and upgrade systems.
Yeah.
So it's a turtles all the way down, but, basically Scribe says the bosses should be relatively as difficult as they are right now, but we should have a lot less gear in the first weeks. Bosses should also change from PTR to reduce the impact of PTR prep and increase difficulty without making the boss harder. I agree with one of those two points pretty strongly.
Yep.
The PTR point is way harder because this is how we get broken bosses. Yeah. But on the other hand, they have shown they can do it repeatedly. Like, all of the end bosses now aren't PTR tested. So, and they can change things.
And there's been very limited, like, and I think there's been very limited, we'll say large scale issue with that. I think there's been some localized stuff. Again, Liquid and Echo are going to find things with any boss that sort of don't play great from PTR. But I think that point I'm less concerned about, but I agree with the less gear, right? Like, I think that is the, to me, that is the biggest, I'll say, issue, right? Is that, like, again, the bosses are created for a Race for World First guild with the expectation that they essentially have max level power, right? Not just max level power when they reach that boss, max level power from an end tier. Like, I think we killed Fyrak with the same, like, not the exact same item level as Liquid, but, like, it was like 3 or 4 more than them. So, like, not a massive amount. We're not killing their Fyrak version with 3 or 4 more item level than them. Like, my guild is not doing that. Like, we're not that good. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's, like, the biggest, like, I agree with Scribe's point of, it's just, like, in general, less gearing early on in a season, it, I think, will make a much better experience for everyone.
So,
except if you only do Mythic Plus, then it sucks. But, like,
here's my hot take. My hot take. They should eye level cap Mythic Raid first, like, 2 weeks, month, whatever makes sense. Like, they should eye level cap it. That that deals with a bunch of problems. It introduces its own, right? Like you're going to get drops from Mythic that are higher eye level than the cap, and they're just going to be like extra copies of the heroic ones until you're actually out of the cap period.
Yeah, yeah.
But that disincentivizes doing stuff like Mythic Plus spam. It disincentivizes a bunch of other things, right? Like there's still benefit to splits if you cap it at like heroic eye level. Mm-hmm. But I mean, let's say you capped it at like the end of the normal upgrade track.
Yeah.
Where it's a lot closer. Then it's a lot closer to like mop challenge modes, right?
Yeah.
Which there was still silly things you could do. But that like cut out a bunch of this, like people hate splits. Nobody likes splits. They suck. Nobody likes splits. Mythic plus farming can be fun. But yeah. The degree to which it is important for gearing early on in the raid tier sucks. The gap between somebody that spent like takes a week and just does 200 keys mm-hmm. versus somebody that doesn't and does 8 is monumental.
It's massive.
And that sucks. One, yeah. And if you cap things for a few weeks, you know, at like what's the end of normal track this year? Like mythic or heroic starts at like 476. So if you cap it at like 476, right?
Yeah.
There's still some benefit to splits, but it's not nearly as much. Because Wolf Run think normal gear is good enough.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you're ever gonna get rid of splits, right?
Yeah.
But I think what the cap is a good. I mean, to be fair, the cap's what Destiny 2 does for their raids.
Yeah, that's like, where I got the idea.
Yeah. So like they do the cap. If you're not familiar, like they cap for like a weekend because their raids don't last multiple weeks. It's typically like 24 hours, but they cap it for a weekend, and you get like 6 or 7 days to gear up to that level of power before that,
yeah.
And then you get to go in and jump in the raid,
and you get a special achievement, right, for doing it with within the cap.
Yeah, within that with they call it contest mode on essentially. Yeah. I think that would be helpful. I think the problem that Blizzard will have with this is the same problem they have with the ICC buff, in that like your power level, they've I don't know if they can change this, but in the past what they've said is they don't like the fact that your power level changes when you enter an instance or when you're in the open world, right?
Yeah.
So like with capping things in the instance, you're in this case, you're artificially decreasing it. In the ICC case, you're artificially increasing it,
right?
But they didn't like that type of difference. But I mean, to me, like a cap early on, I think is the best idea. And like maybe they can get really fancy with it, in that like as you kill a boss, your cap raises slightly, meaning that like,
yeah,
to be fair, like the Race for World First guilds, it like, let's say a boss drops like 476 gear, your power level's capped at 470, whatever, like 474 or like 472, yeah, like slightly lower than
what
the boss drops.
It could be a weekly currency that you get from, you know, doing things and filling your vault. And then at the end of the week, you get, you know, instead of a spark of dreams, or in addition to a spark of dreams, you get a little doodad that says your power level cap is increased by 3. And it's not even just in raids. They just cap gear.
Yeah, that opens a whole other can of worms, I think. But I think the gearing thing in raids, at least, I think is to me that makes sense, is to cap it that way. Very much like the old challenge ones were, right? Like you mentioned, and the raids. I think, to be fair, that might be the best way to sort of approach it. And then I think the good thing about that is that like there's a bunch of different things. But then I think the thing is like as that cap increases, to be fair, doing things like Mythic Plus or like killing Mythic bosses when you're at a low, like while you're still below the cap, or getting gear from a Mythic boss that's above the cap while you're still below it, you will slowly get powerful as a guild through that, right? I think that's, I'm thinking about it more. It's just a more complicated ICC buff.
I mean, yes and no. So like the idea is that it's something that is one and done. Right, like you cap it during the race. Once the race is over,
you just open it up,
remove the cap, basically, and you tune the raids in such a way that you make sure there's never going to be another Sepulcher of the First Ones, right?
Yeah.
And then you know, for the rest of us that typically currently take like 10 to 12 weeks to clear a raid, maybe that drops our time to like 7 to 8 weeks because we just have more gear relative to the difficulty of the raid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but it means, like, frankly, it may not even meaningfully decrease the power of a guild like ours in the first 2 weeks of the raid tier.
Oh,
because we just don't do the ridiculous stuff that the world first guilds do.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it would depend on where that cap sits. But if it's capped at, like, you know, right at like heroic level, like, yeah, like, we have people in our guild that don't do mythic plus, so like their only power increases are crafted gear
and raid gear.
Yeah. So like they'll be fine. Yeah. So I mean, I think some change needs to be made to, like, if they want to keep the difficulty and the excitement of the race for world first there, but not, I'll say, put the rest of their game, like the rest of their players, through hell, like waiting for a nerf. Like, I think that is, they need to do something, because it's definitely, it's rough. And I'm very open about it. It's Phyrex being as difficult as it was is the reason I'm not healing anymore. Like, it's just, it's gotten to the point where, like, it's not getting easier. I'm getting to bosses where, like, I have nothing to do other than kill, like, to do this boss. Like, I'm not getting gear from anywhere other sources, right? Like, I've essentially sprinted to the top, and now I'm just on this slog through, like, this marshy, muddy run through the final, like, three bosses, where it's just like, great, tonight where we're gonna wipe for 4 hours. Maybe we see a new phase. If not, like, it doesn't matter, because next week I'm not gonna gain any power, so I'm gonna, you know, hope for a nerf if we hit that sort of wall. So
it's unfun. There's quite a bit more in this post, and there's only one, like, we've actually talked about a lot of the stuff that's in the rest of this post. There's a huge section on the user interface that we've talked a lot when we talk about private auras and we talk about weak auras. Yeah. There's stuff about the legendary, which, honestly, like, we've complained plenty about the way that the
give me Shadowmourne legendaries back, man. Shadowmourne, the staff that I always forget about from Cata, the daggers from Cataclysm.
Dragonwrath,
like, yeah, like, give me that legendary system. Don't give me this stupid, like, drop chance bullshit. Sorry.
But yeah, there's a section that I want to bring up. It's talking about raid composition being really restrictive. And yeah.
Well, yep. I think not only, the funny thing is like raid, I think to me, raid composition being restrictive, I agree with, because we do this even in our guild, like where we play two Augavokers because that was the best number of Augavokers to have, right? Like we'll play meta specs because they're meta. Like we played like two rogues. We had one of our healing shaman go enhancement, right? Because enhancement was so good.
Yeah.
And, but I think the other problem, and I don't know if they say this in here, but like the other problem with raid composition being restrictive also means that, like, when you get to a boss, so I think it's raid restrictions, but then also raid difficulty. Because when you get to a boss, changing people out is so much more difficult because the difficulty is so much higher. Yeah. Like, I think you hit this with Tyndryl. Tyndryl's a prime example. Like, Tyndryl, great fight, awesome fight, love that fight. It absolutely sucked the night we had to change out one of our healers.
Oh yeah.
For even though it was, I think it was for like half a night, like for 2 hours, but we made zero progress in those 2 hours.
Multiple people every night on Tyndryl for our first like 2.5-3 weeks of progressing that boss.
Yeah, it was
awful.
It sucks because there's a bunch of stuff that you like, you don't, it's 20 people, but like there's a bunch of things where like you will do something the same way as a player all the time, and other players around you will learn that. And so like, not, you're not specifically saying I'm always going to stand here, but like, and tell everyone that but you're always going to stand there as a player.
You have something like the roots, right?
Yeah.
Everybody goes in and you kind of like, you learn where your spot is.
Yeah.
The spot that, like, you know, the demon hunter stands over here. The shaman stands next to them. The paladin stands next to them. And you're like, I'm over here. This is my spot. And I don't get cleaved by those three. We kind of have our own little positions. And then you like switch out two of those people. And somebody dies to your triple cleave.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just the thing, even like getting the right feathers on Tyndryl is like a thing where like people just instinctively know where to go. And I mean, I think it's that part of the raid composition also sucks. But I agree with their point. Their point was more on like, look, you need to have this, you need to have at least this many specs, right? And then you have a handful left over, right, to do whatever you want.
Yeah,
and just means that
we also got punished by that this year with not having enough freedoms on Tyndryl.
Yeah,
and we needed to have healers go gnome and took too long to do that, but that made things so much easier. It was actually ridiculous. But there's just a huge degree of comp check to Mythic rating that is tied to the difficulty that they tune it and the fact that you can't outgear it.
Yeah, which is, yeah, which then feeds into all the other stuff we've talked about over this podcast so far, which is like boss ability being high means restrictive composition, which means like then also feeds into like, okay, you can't, like you're not gaining any power by like farming anymore, so like you're at your max power when you reach the bosses in most cases, the really difficult ones. So
I mean, it's like Demon Hunter debuff, right? It's more or less just 5% increased raid damage. There the fraction of raid damage is like 80, it's magical, is like 80% or something ludicrous, so it's more like 4% more raid damage. Okay, so if you don't have that, to make up for it you need 4 more raid eye levels. But there literally is no way to get 4 more raid eye levels without having the end bosses on farm, basically.
Yeah.
And even then, not really, because there's not stuff that drops at that eye level in every slot that you have access to.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I think my guild's 480, we were 46, I think, or 47 when we killed Fire.
Yeah, 489.
So 49 is max.
Yeah.
So it's like where
you literally cannot outgear not having a demon hunter. You cannot outgear not having a priest. You cannot outgear.
Yeah.
You know, so if the raids are tuned for you to have all of these buffs, then you need the buffs. Now, you can outplay them to some degree. Like, I'm pretty sure Limit could do these bosses without the demon hunter, right? Like, we should be able to. Oh, I know for a fact we could kill Phyrex now without a demon hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a Bentley DPS dead for 4 minutes on our kill.
Nice.
Not their fault, but 4 minutes. So we could definitely do it without it having optimal buffs, but that's post nerf, right? Yeah. And that comes back to the raid tuning. They took 10% HP off the boss.
Yeah, and that's what gets Yeah, no, and it's just, I think that's, they all these sort of things, this entire post is really good, and I think everything that they've said sort of fits, all sort of touches together, right? They can't change, again, you can't just change one of these things and make the rest of it work, right? You skew it in one direction, making the fights maybe entirely too, like, way too hard, or you make it way too easy, right, where it becomes, like, classic or, like, SOD rating, right? Where it's like, do you have a pulse for 5 minutes and then you get to kill the boss and loot it, right? Like,
I
think there's definitely a balance through all of this, but in my mind, like, if they were to look back at this just tier in general, and I think they're sort of reaching the point where like the general player base is not having fun, and like, no offense to the to like the world first guilds, like, you need the general player base to have a good time doing this, right?
And that's like, you can listen to old episodes of this podcast, and like, I've been in the camp that they have tuned the fun out of Mythic for actual years.
Yeah, no, and I think I sit right there with you, where like the last time I cheered when we killed an end boss was Jaina, right? In BFA. Like, since then, it's been a like relief to be done, and not in like a meme-y way. It's been like a, dude, like, I, these last like 6 weeks of raiding have just been two bosses that we've banged our head against the wall, and then we hit a part where they either nerfed them, or like, they nerfed them 2 weeks ago when we finally got good enough to kill it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just, you're right. It's sort of, they've definitely made the fights for the, you know, those top two guilds, but they've not then made the necessary changes to make them like normal for us. Yeah. I think that's the other problem. I think the nerfs are too slow. Like, I think there's a point, like, if they were to do the thing where they're like, okay, Limit and Echo get their version of the boss. As soon as one of them kills it, nerfs are in place the next reset. And it's like, cool, like that, whatever.
Like, I could live with that. Like, I'm definitely
it's not what I want.
Like, I'm not going to be like saying we can't do that because it's not perfect, right?
Yeah.
But it definitely would not be my preferred.
Not mine either, but I think if we have
it'd be better.
If it's the system, if it's the comparing to what we have today versus making some sort of change that isn't a cap or isn't some wildly different thing than they do today, like lessen the number of gear or make the bosses easier. If they want to keep them at that level, I think the idea of being like, here is the Liquid Echo version of the boss. Next week, whenever one of them kills it, next reset, here is the rest of the world's version of the boss.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, be damned if you don't kill it in that first reset when Liquid or Echo does. Like, you're
honestly like, just stick Chromie in the instance and be like, yeah, Chromie can turn it back on for you.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's the other, yeah, that's the whole like turning off the buff thing. Yeah.
They talked about hard modes on this, and I don't like hard modes as a solution to this. And that's having Chromie able to like turn on the original version of the boss basically is hard modes.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's a through line through this post, basically longing for like in-universe diegetic like reasons for things to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, they want smaller raids, multiple raids. They want difficulty that is naturally nerfed by things that happen in the game world, and all this, you know, difficulty activated by doing things like talking to NPCs and stuff like that. And like, that's all valid. It's part of the like kind of magic and wonder of original WoW, of classic WoW. Mm-hmm. But it's all also kind of fundamentally incompatible with the way that they build mythic raids.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. So, and we have gone long, I just realized.
Oh yeah, we have gone quite long. It was good though. This is a good.
It's a great post to come in, because I think it's been something that I've thought about for like the past couple months, I'll say. Got like finishing off this tier. And so, definitely really good, super detailed, a lot more eloquently said than I probably put together. And no, I think there's a lot of good stuff in that post, and then, you know, a lot of good takes in Twitter, and well, good and bad takes as well, but I think
good and bad.
Yeah, but I think Scripe's take is I think it's interesting that they echo that, like he's echoing something as someone who competes in the race for world first, and just being like,
I mean, I think they probably hate splits more than literally anybody else, and if they could do fewer splits, even if they still do some, but if they could do fewer,
exactly, right? yeah
I'm sure they'd be all over it.
No, 100%. So awesome. All right, I think we're good. Any other final points?
No, I think that is plenty said about that. The post will be in the show notes again. If you want to go read the whole thing, I highly recommend it. There's also this PC Gamer article that Abe Alito linked in chat about how Blizzard balances raids that I'm going to read after this, that I have not read before. But if it's good, I'll also put it in the show notes.
Nice.
But yeah, that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. It is the best place to complain about having to wait for more Tindril nerfs.
Or Phyrex nerfs, depending.
Or Phyrex nerfs, as the case may be. But thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.